Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Adoption Focus. My name is Jennifer Jaworski, and I am a social worker with Adoption Associates of Michigan. This is Adoption Associates' premier talk radio blog show. Adoption Associates was founded in 1990, and we specialize in both domestic and international adoption. We provide pregnancy and adoption services throughout all of Michigan, with offices located in Jenison, Lansing, Farmington Hills, and Saginaw. Anywhere in Michigan, you can find a connection to Adoption Associates. Adoption Associates brings knowledge, support, and understanding in adoption. Adoption is not only our specialty, it is our passion. One of Adoption Associates' commitments is to this radio show, to help educate and support adoptive families, birth families, and the adoption community at large. So we are really glad that you're listening in today. If you'd like to call in during the show with questions or comments, we would encourage that at 347-850-1100. Again, 347-850-1100. And I am excited today to introduce the Program Director of Adoption Associates International Division, and that is Sally Mao. Sally, are you with us?
I am. Thank you.
Hi. Good morning. Thank you so much for being on Adoption Focus today.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So how long have you been working in international adoption and or with Adoption Associates?
I've been working for Adoption Associates for about 18 years, and I started working in the domestic program, working with birth moms, and then I switched gears a little bit and started working with adoptive couples, completing home studies and post-adoption reports, and then I made another transition from domestic to international, and about 8 years ago, I was more specifically involved with international adoption. Just over the last 8 years, my responsibilities and job has changed quite a bit. And here I am now, director of the international programs.
Fantastic. So can you share a little bit about the history of Adoption Associates International Adoption Programs?
Sure. Sure. As you said before, Adoption Associates was founded in 1990, and when it started, we just did domestic adoptions. But a few years later, we started digging into international a little bit, and over the years, we've worked in several different countries. We've worked in Romania, Russia, Guatemala, Moldova, China, Ethiopia. There's several more besides that, and for various reasons over the years, programs have opened and closed. In most cases, the reason for closing has been something to do with a government restriction, whether it be United States government or the foreign country's government.
Mm-hmm.
And overall, the international adoptions have significantly dropped in the last 5 to 10 years due to those restrictions.
I see. So how about an overview of the Adoption Associates' current international program? What countries are we working in, and maybe a little bit of information for our listeners about that?
Sure. Okay. We are working in 4 different countries right now, and I'll start with China. China is primarily a special needs program, and children are available age infant and up, either gender, and the needs that they have, they really vary from real mild to very severe needs. And we've been working in China for several years. It used to be both a healthy program and a special needs, but over the last 6 years or so, it has changed to primarily special needs. The next country that I'll talk about is Nepal. Nepal is primarily, the children that are available are primarily age 6 and up, and either gender, their special needs, and healthy. Nepal has some unique eligibility requirements for the adoptive couple, such as you cannot have more than 2 children in the home when you adopt from Nepal. You have to adopt the opposite gender of what's already in your home. So that's a little bit tricky for a lot of families. But
sure,
it is a program that we would love to see more families join. And, of course, you can feel free to contact me for more information on that. And the next one is Bulgaria. We opened a Bulgaria program about probably 3 or 4 months ago. And Bulgaria is primarily older children. There are some younger, say 2, 3, 4 years old. Those would primarily be special needs. And then there are a lot of children that are quite a bit older, say 8 or 9 or older. There's sibling groups available. Those children are not necessarily special needs as far as diagnosed with something. Many of them do have maybe more emotional needs, which is likely due to being in the institution for as long as they have been. We're really trying to get families in our Bulgaria program because the need is really there. We have about close to 40 children available right now in our Bulgaria program. Again, varying in ages and some sibling groups, some singles. But that's the program that we're kind of trying to grow right now. Ethiopia is the other country that we worked in. We've worked in Ethiopia for about 11 years. That program has seen its ups and downs, and right now it's moving forward at, I would say, a slow pace, but definitely moving forward in a positive way. And children available there are infant and older, either gender, healthy, and special needs. So that's the rundown.
Okay. Okay. And so you mentioned, I believe, Bulgaria is where the need is. So for prospective couples listening to the show today who are interested, can you maybe enlighten us a little more about some specifics about that country and that adoption
mm-hmm.
program?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I touched on a little bit a few minutes ago, but like I said, most of the children there are older. We have quite a few sibling groups, and most of these children, their medical reports look quite clear, but they might talk about different emotional needs, or they're maybe a little unstable, something like that. So something that is, it's important that a family that would be interested in Bulgaria be properly prepared and educated on whatever types of needs that these children have. But it is a great need for it. We continue to get more and more referrals. Just got 2 more today. And anyone that is interested or knows of someone that might be interested, please take that first step and give us a call, and we can talk with you further.
Okay, and you mentioned the children that are older. Give us some specifics mm-hmm. on that, if you could. What ages are you talking about?
We have some children that are really anywhere from, say, 8 or 9 years old. We have some 14, 15-year-olds available. The issue with a 15-year-old is that the process has to get moving, and they need to get their approval from the U.S. before their 16th birthday. Otherwise, they will have aged out. In other words, they would not be allowed or eligible to be adopted per U.S. regulations. So we have probably 15 children between the ages of 12 and 15 right now. And some of them are just a single sibling, and then others are a group of 2, or some. And we have a couple of sets of 3 siblings as well.
Wow. What's the time frame, not just for Bulgaria, but maybe one mm-hmm. or 2 of the other countries as well? How do families know what to prepare for in terms of travel requirements, maybe?
The time frame really depends a lot on, first of all, the country that you're adopting from, but it also depends on if you are adopting a child that has already been identified. In other words, you're starting the adoption process because you've seen information on a specific child, and that is why you started the adoption process. That's different than if you start a process and you are just wanting to adopt, say, an infant boy or girl, but the child is not pre-identified. So I would say that the average time frame from start to finish for an adoption is anywhere from 12 months to could be 3 years in some cases. Average would be about 18 months from start to finish. And the countries that we work with, they all do require travel. And let's see, Nepal requires one trip that lasts about 10 days. Bulgaria requires two trips, both lasting about a week with a few months in between those trips. China requires one trip, which usually lasts around 2 weeks. And then Ethiopia, you have the option of traveling twice with your trips being quite close together, or you can travel one time and remain in country about 3-4 weeks.
Oh.
So it really varies from country to country.
Very interesting. What about language barriers? What should families kind of know about that?
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, because they're from a different country, they likely are not going to know a lot of English. However, many of these kids do go to school, and in most cases, they are taught some English. So it really depends on the specific circumstances of the child. Let's say that there's a child in Ethiopia that has only been in the orphanage for maybe 6 months, and let's say that child is 5 years old. That child is likely not going to know a whole lot of English because maybe they were in a remote area learning a completely different language before they were brought to the orphanage. But
sure.
If you take a child that has been in more, like, say, in the highly populated metro area, the capital city, Addis Ababa of Ethiopia, they likely have gone to school and have learned English. It's not necessarily going to be fluent English. It's not uncommon, though, to go there and the children are translating for the adults when we're trying to speak with them. So I don't want to minimize it. It is language can be really frustrating as well, especially when you have a child that's maybe 3 years old that's coming home and he or she really is frustrated because they can't communicate. They've been removed from everything that's familiar to them, and they have a difficult time communicating. So that can be really frustrating. That said, I hear over and over again that it's amazing how quick they do learn the language, and it's quite amazing that they do.
Very
they do.
Interesting. Sure. Mm-hmm. That's great. I know that I hear from families that worry about the financial burden of international adoption, and I'm sure you get many questions about that as well in your role. Mm-hmm. Can you address this a little bit for our listeners?
Sure. Yeah, international adoption is very costly, and I know that oftentimes will scare people away, or they just feel like, oh, there's no way that we could afford it, and I don't want to. It can be very overwhelming, and we understand that. The things that we do as an agency to try take the edge off that a bit are, first of all, we have several different organizations that offer grants that you can apply for, and we have a whole page on our website that talks about adoption funding specifically, and that would be grant organizations, and there's different organizations that will offer loans. There's information on the adoption tax credit that is on there as well. So there's ways that you are able to try to see if you can get that amount reduced during the adoption. The other thing is there are a lot of people that feel called to help. They might not feel that they are in a position to adopt themselves, but they want to come alongside families that are in the process of adopting, and they do that in different ways, including financial. It's not unusual at all for us to hear that a family friend, or maybe not even a friend, an acquaintance, has donated X amount to their cause. It's a matter of getting the awareness out there that the need is there.
That's wonderful.
Right. And the other thing is we do not have families pay, you know, the full fees right up front. We have the payments spread out throughout the process, with the last fees being due prior to traveling to the country. So we try and ease it a little bit that way.
Sure. Okay. And how does someone know if international adoption is a good fit for their family? Can you share what you see and what your experience has been about that?
Right. That is something that that's a good question, because not everyone is a good fit for international adoption. I would say that the most important things for international, number one, is patience. So much of the process is waiting, and waiting without any real explanation sometimes, or sometimes the explanation doesn't make that much sense in our minds. And that's primarily because we're dealing with a foreign government and we don't always think the same way. So patience is number one. Another is flexibility. Even if there's a plan in place and it's such and such is going to happen tomorrow or next week, or when you're in country, you have on the ground itinerary all set, it changes. You have to be able to be okay with expecting the unexpected when it comes to that. A couple other things would be, international adoption can give you a real feeling of feeling kind of out of control, because so much of it is not dependent on something you can fix or something that you can do. So you have to be someone that is okay with that, or can learn to be okay with that. It can be a helpless feeling for many people when the case just seems to be delayed and there's just not anything you can do about it.
Right.
I guess finally I would say it's a good quality would be to be adventuresome. It's mm-hmm. adventurous. You traveling to these foreign countries, it's not easy. It's long travel, and it can be difficult in country. So that you have to be someone that considers that more of an adventure. And in most cases, families will travel. I'll use Ethiopia as the example. They might be nervous to go because it's something so different than any place they've ever been before. But you also, when you're there, you grow to love that country and the people, and it's beautiful, and it's everything all wrapped up into one.
Right. I was going to mention that, too, the joys and the struggles that we hear from our families mm-hmm. overcoming mm-hmm. the travel and or maybe the finances or the language. And in the end, you know, here's this joyous adoption that they're able to be a part of and bring a child into their family, which is such a beautiful,
Absolutely.
Wonderful mm-hmm. thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What are some of the common situations of children that are in need of adoption that we're seeing most frequently?
Mm-hmm. The most frequent reasons a child is available is due to poverty and or illnesses or deceased parents. In some cases, it could be a situation where, for example, the birth father of the child was ill and has passed, and the birth mother is unable to take on caring for the child on her own, and so she might decide that she just wants to plan for a better life for that child. The other thing is that if she were to remarry or become involved with a second husband, then it's unlikely in their culture, it's unlikely that that child will be accepted by the new family. And in some cases, a birth mom might choose to relinquish the child just because of that, because the child would not get the same love and support that he or she would if he was full biological. That's just one example. There are another situation where there's two different types of adoptions, relinquishment and abandonment. Relinquishment would mean that birth mom or birth father or birth relative, someone has released that child for adoption to just give them a better chance at a good life. The other is abandonment, where the child is found by a police officer or just a normal citizen and brought to the police department. And sometimes the children that are abandoned could very well have been abandoned by their birth mom who wanted to relinquish, but there are certain areas, say in Ethiopia, where that government will not approve an adoption if there's a birth parent involved. So that birth mom might really want to make this plan for her child, but she's unable to do so because the government won't allow her. Therefore, the only way that she can do it is if she abandons that child. In many cases, we see the children, they're found in places where it was clear that the person that was abandoning them was trying to at least put them in a safe place where they would be found by someone, whether it be a hospital or a hotel or something like that. So.
Wow. So we're rounding out here toward the end of the show. We've talked about a lot of information. Is there anything else that you thought would be important to mention here that we haven't already discussed?
Mm-hmm. I would say if you feel a nudge, if you feel that there's a reason why you're, you know, thinking about this more seriously or considering this, follow that nudge. There's nothing harmful about looking into it further, getting some information. You can get that information and even take the very first steps without some obligation to without committing to it. It's worth trying to find out if this is right for you or not.
Sure, absolutely. And I know that we have many other families who've completed international adoptions that are welcoming other people to call them with questions and serve as a resource to families that are considering that too. So, you know, if anyone's listening that is interested in that, please contact us for that information. So Sally, thank you so much for being on the show today. Great information. And I know that we'll be hearing from those of you that are wanting a little bit more or even to make personal contact with Sally. Please remember that we're live every Tuesday at 11. And if you'd like to connect with Sally or with Adoption Associates, you can call us at 800-677-2367. Or you can reach us on the web at adoptionassociates.net. We look forward to you joining us next week when we speak with Chris Dickens, who will discuss talking with children about adoption. That should be a great show. Again, live at 11 on Tuesdays. Thanks again, Sally.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Have a great day, everyone. For now, this is Jennifer. Bye-bye.